A tremendous thing that people should go ahead and some of the Bachim that are here probably are not fully aware of what it means to be able to take off time from work and leave a family and come here and to study Torah in depth is an amazing thing. I just had the schus, the merit this past week of taking a group from the States, a not yet from group from the States that they came to Eretz Yisrael for a week to come and learn and to come learn Torah. And at the last night we had a final banquet, as they call it, for these guys. And they were talking about their experiences about over the past week. Well, you have to understand what we're dealing with here. These are mostly guys that are, again, like we mentioned, currently secular. One of them was from, the other has heard of Shabbos once, I think. And these guys come along just to be able to go ahead and to learn, and we gave them everything that we can. They, like I discussed with some, we learned hard, we played hard, and they drink and smoke hard, and I watched hard from a distance. And basically, or close. And fine, you have to be mishtatev with the tzibur sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so I just got back from the hospital after that, and I want to share with you that the pumping the stomach is an amazing thing. All right, so we're gonna chazer something which we've done here. The very first opportunity I had to speak in this beautiful yeshiva was about years ago. I don't remember, but it was downstairs in Zvil on a Friday night. We discussed a particular Mishnah Berurah. We then brought it up again, and I'm going to bring it up a third time now because I don't have enough material. Now listen to what the Heilige Shulchan Aruch comes along and teaches us. So we know that a person has a chiyuv based off the Gemara. Let's test some of you who have heard this before. It's where's the Gemara? Okay, so the Gemara says that we know who said it. The Gemara says, "B'shah shemachlis adam ladin," at a time when a person is going to come upstairs and going to have a judgment, they're going to be asked a series of questions. I'll let you off the hook. How many questions? Okay, I guess it's multiple choice tonight. Is it A, 6 questions, B, or C? 6 is correct. Good. There are 6 questions, even though you didn't say that. Right? Good. There are 6 questions that are going to be asked over the course when a person gets upstairs. This is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph in the bottom over there. It says a series of questions. And the second question that's going to be asked, well, what's the first question? Nasasa nasata v'nasata be'emuna over your svaradits nasata v'natatatata be'emuna. It means that we have a no say no tim. Was there a give and take in emuna? That's not the general understanding, but it means we're honest in business. How most people understand it. The next one is: was a person kavati itum l'Torah? Did a person go ahead and did they set the time for study of Torah? Did we set the time for study of Torah? You might ask yourself, what do you mean set myself a time for the study of Torah? The Gemara, we know the famous Machlokas and Brachos, which tells in the 6th parak where we have back and forth, should a person just sit and learn Torah, or should a person work and learn? What should you do? So we know back and forth, what does Rava say at the end of it? Like, I beg of you to work in order that you should be able to learn. Okay, but it goes back and forth. Sit and learn Torah. Okay, very nice. You can sit and learn Torah. But do you know what's going to be with the parnose? Right? What's going to be with the amor? So we say emain kemach. Come on, all the parents know this one. Right? This is what you tell your kids when you want them to leave yeshiva. Emain kemach, ain't Torah. Right? If there's no kemach, then there's no Torah. I heard a beautiful pshat what that means. It doesn't mean if you're not working, you're not going to have Torah. Emain kemach, that's a raya that ain't Torah. Meaning if a person really learned Torah, you'd have kemach. Okay, but anyway. Point is, it says over here the following idea. And it's not just because your father's sending it to you, perhaps. Alright, so now it comes along and tells us a very scary baralacha. And this we've mentioned. Okay, apparently you need a chazer. I need a chazer. Says the Baralacha. This is in Simon Kuf
Nun Vav. Sigda Masu Matan. Acher Kach Yelich Lasokov. Sorry, right before Kuftan Hey. It says Acher Shiyotzim Bebeis Hakenesis. After a person leaves Shul, Yelich Lebeis Hamedrash. He should go to the Beis Medrash. Vyikba Eis Lomot and set a time to learn. Vitzarach Shaosa Eisia Kavua Shalei Avenu Afim Musavi Lavia Charbe. And then it's a time to be set that you never pass it, even if you think that you're going to be able to gain a tremendous amount. I wish I brought it with me. Rabbi Biderman writes in one of his pamphlets, if you know that is from B'nai Brak, and if you don't, he still writes it, you just don't know him. But he says a beautiful concept based off Parshas by Avraham Avinu, Parshas Lech Lecha, and he discusses the concept of recognition that really Hashem gives us everything. The Gemara tells us on Tezayinim and Aleph in Beitza, and a person is going to make a certain amount of money. The amount of money you're going to make. You're not going to make more, you're not going to make less. And therefore, go ahead and do what you got to do. Okay, you have to put a little status, whatever that means. Again, we spoke about that another time. I don't want too much of the same thing we discussed. But understand that really, you're going to make what you're going to make. You're not going to make more, you're not going to make less, which brings to the concept, but you should never really steal anything. You should never steal, because stealing is a mistake. It's a silly thing. I don't remember. I don't know who I said what to wear. The Medrash tells us in Parshas Noach, it says that when everyone was coming to the Teva, that everyone wanted to come onto the Teva, that Sheker came to the Teva also, and Sheker wanted to come onto the Teva. And Noach said, sorry, this is a couple's event only. You know what I'm saying? You can't come on alone. You gotta have a Zug. You gotta have a Ben Zug, a Bazug. So I don't know what Sheker's a male or female. I don't know what's going on, but Sheker says, but I want on. So sorry, you can't get on. You gotta have a spouse. So he goes around looking for a spouse, and no one trusted him. Until finally, what happened was, is that, Sheker means lying, by the way. Anyway, so until finally, what happened was that Sheker goes and he finds a malach. I forget the name. If you know the name, tell me. But he says that Sheker finds a malach, and this malach, his sole job is to do what? Is to make somebody lose their money. He's the one who's in charge of damages, someone who loses money, or someone gets ruined or damaged or lost. This malach is in charge of this thing. So he goes in, fine. So Sheker goes, will you marry me? So this one says back, listen, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll marry you on one condition. So what is it? It says, anything that you ever gain comes to me. Anything you ever gain comes to me. So Sheker is kind of forced, and he says, okay, all right, deal. Or better yet, he says, no, I want you to say, no, I'm not doing it. Fine, I'm not doing it. Great, deal. All right, so he goes ahead, and they go and they get married. And the Medrash is telling us a very powerful idea. I saw this, by the way, on a pamphlet, on the little paper, it's a yellow paper that week, called Kinder Torah. If anyone knows that thing, Kinder Torah? No? Okay, just me. Anyway, so I was reading it to my son, and but I didn't have kids at the time, but when I was going to have a son, I was reading it for him. And he says over there that this is why it's not worth it for a person to ever cheat, steal, or be dishonest. You see, because there's two things that are going to happen negative. Number one, you're over an isser of stealing. Number two, you're not even going to gain what you gained. Whatever you gained through that is going to go to that malach. It's going to be lost anyway. And that's why, perhaps, you can go back to the first statement that we said, Nasata v'nasata b'emuna, were you honest in business? You just got to be silly not to be honest in business, because anything you're going to gain, you're going to end up losing anyway, so it's just not worth it. But over here it goes and he says that the person should set a time for learning. That time is set. Nothing to talk about. You're never going to step away from the time of learning, even if you think you're going to gain a lot of money, because you realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give you parnasa anyway. So then what are you going ahead and saying, oh no, let me stop my learning now to go do parnasa? Now that means you weren't nasata v'nasata be'emuna, and that means the literal concept of emuna or emuna. When a person really goes ahead and connects to the concept of what is really emuna, what is emuna, when a person goes ahead and realizes what that is. Okay, then comes like the beralacha, very famously, and this is a scary beralacha I want to share with you, and then we're going to get to a beautiful gemara in Tainus if you prefer. You could also look in the Gemara Ksuvos, it's a parallel gemara. So he says the following idea, the beralacha says, Amari, Isam Midrash, sorry, it says found in Midrash Mishlei Parsha Yud. Amari, Bo Re'ei Kama Kasha Yomadin Sha'asa Lekash Bacha Lununus Kol Olam. Come and see how difficult, how challenging it's going to be in the end of days. God's going to come along and he's going to judge the entire world. Bami Sheish Biyada Mikra, Vein Biyada Mishnah. Someone comes and they say they have Mikra, they have Teira, they learn Torah, Chumash, Vein Biyada Mishnah, but they don't have Mishnah. They don't have any Mishnah. What should they do? What's going to happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hofech Hispan of Mimenu Mitzir Gehenem Iskabrim Bov Hem Notol Soma Shech Masol Gehenem. It's a beautiful, lovely bedtime story. What happens is God turns his face away from them, and the constraints of Gehenem, translate what that means in your own, they grab over him and they take him and they throw him into Gehenem. It's lovely. Now, what happens next? It gets deeper though. Bumish Yesh Biyadu Shnei Star Moshlosha. Guys, look, I learned Mishnah. I learned like Mizraim and Moed. I'll tell you something amazing. This is not related. I want to tell you a story. I was, when I brought these guys that just came on this trip, it was 11 guys, 12 guys. I don't know how many guys. There were guys. And these guys came. And we took them on a tour of Mei Sha'arim. And we had the opportunity to go to Pinz Karlin. We went into Pinz Karlin, into the Cheder. Okay, this is seventh grade kids. These guys walk in, and I even said to the guy who's in charge, I said, no epis taka, maybe don't tell him not to grada, bring in the cell phones, you know what I'm saying, and a mamish epis. And the guy says, they have a lot of tourists that come through here, they're collecting, for, you know, things like they've seen these things. We brought them into a seventh grade class that just finished learning Seder Moed. They finished Moed, the Mishnayos, they finished Moed. Baal Peh. So go ahead, and he goes and he's going to show them. Now these guys, I'm saying most of these guys don't know a word of Hebrew, don't know Mishnah. The kids could have been saying Bereshis Bara, Bereshis, Bereshis, Bereshis Bara, and they wouldn't have known any. But the Taka were actually saying Mishnayos. How do I know? So my friend told me he was there. And when the Rebbe came along and he would start them off, and he says, no, this is crazy. You're like, oh, I learned Moed too, Sukkah, right? Yeah, I learned Sukkah. First daf, you know, I know the first Mishnah. I don't remember how it starts, but there's something to do with like Gavoa and Nomoch, right? That's where they start. The Rebbe starts, he's like, Shkolim, Perike, Mishnah, Tes. I'm like, Shkolim is a Mishnah? Like, what is that? You know, and the kids start off. It's amazing to watch. They go through the whole thing, and it's just incredible. It's incredible. I'm trying to explain to these guys, you know what this means? And I asked the I don't know what you call it, the headmaster, the Rosh Hashiva, whatever, Rosh Hashiva, I don't know what you guys call him, a guy who's there in charge. I said, guy in charge here, I said, let me ask you something. I said, can we test them? Can I test them? He says, yeah, sure, go for it, test them. I said, do they learn like Taich? Like, do they really know what they're saying? Or do they just like learn to memorize things? So he goes, no, they learn Taich. I said, yeah. He's like, yeah. I was waiting for him to be like, no, don't test them, you know, they are young kids, you know. So I was like, all right, I'm like, Perek, Dalit, Mishnah, Gimel, right? And then they start together, like on tune. Hi, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what they said, but they said the Mishnah. And then they finished. I said, okay, but can I really test them? He said, yes. So I said, okay. So I open the Mishnah and I start messing with them big time. I start by not going in order, but going out of order. I would say, like, okay, a sukkah, which is above 20 amos, the fear of Yehuda, kosher apostle. No? Okay, we didn't learn sukkah. Well, another mistake. What was that? What are you guys learning? Gittin? What are you learning? What? Yehuda Machshe. Yehuda Machshe. Okay, what are you guys learning? What daf? I didn't have to ask you, like, I'm not, what daf? Bereshis bara. Okay, anyway, so I go ahead and ask these guys, and I'm asking them, and I'm throwing them out there, and these guys, these kids are nailing it. They're nailing it. There's one guy who I saw, there was one kid, he had the longest pace. That kid was like, Pasha, he owned it. You could see everyone looking at him. Yeah, so they're like, I'm like, but you Rabbi Yehuda? And he goes, Mach, he was like a split second before him. He goes, Machshe, but they're so in tune, and as soon as he goes, they're like, Machshe. Right, they go and they nailed it. So then I said, all right, Pesachim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah, Yud Beis. And there was silence. And then all of a sudden they go, Ain. There is no Mishnah Yud Beis. I was like, nice. And I'm showing these guys, unbelievable, these kids are 11 years old. And Rabbi Glazer was with us, and for those who know Rabbi Glazer, and again, if you don't. So he pointed out to the guys, he goes, do you think that we've beat the system? Look at these kids. These kids are sitting here, and they're steiging. You think we beat ADD? You think we beat, well, it wasn't about us, because we didn't, but do you think they beat ADD? Do you think they beat all the letters, right, PhD? Do you think they beat, like, all this kind of stuff? Answers, no, but yes. In other words, you just sit down, you get the whole system how it works. But these kids knew it. They know the Sidre Mishnah. How many Mishnahs do we know? A little bit, sort of. How daf are we learning, right? So he says the following. Someone comes along and he learned two starim or three starim. So what happens then? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following. I'm stalling for time so I could find where I was. I'm looking and I found. B'ni, kol ha'alachos, al noshinisosam. Why don't you learn all of halacha? Ba mishesh bo da halachos. Amelo b'ni, toros kahanim, lemelo shinisa. Sheyesh bo, and it goes to. Ba mishesh bo da toros kahanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu amelo b'ni, chamishichum shei Torah, lemelo shinisa. Sheyesh bo kriyesh ba tefila mezuzah. Ba mishesh bo da chamishichum shei Torah. Amelo b'ni, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lemelo ma ta agada. Someone says, I learned agada. He says, why didn't you learn something else? And it goes off and on and on and on. And it says, Va'ish, Asher Einu Mezaris is Atzma Likbolo, Itam Latar B'chol Yom. And a person who does not set himself a time to learn Teda every single day, Bevada yishai rekem mikol. Certainly, he will end up empty of all these things. Chas v'shalom. Umayana lo yom adin. And what are they going to answer in yom adin? Ve'achacham einav berosho. And the wise people, their eyes are in their head, as well as other people as well. Now, this, my friends, is the first thing, and it's a pachatika thing. It's scary. But you say, what am I going to do? I need parnasa. Now, we're not going to get into the whole discussion about what's the shtadlis, what's the muna, how much should you? Simply because I don't know the answer. But another reason is because it's beyond the scope of this discussion. But I want to share with you, though, an amazing Gemara. The Gemara, which when I first saw this, well, the truth is I first saw it in Tainis, but I first paid attention in Ksuvas. And the Gemara over there is on Samach Tesmer Beis on the bottom over there. Some of you learned Tainis, and you will know this Gemara. This will sound very familiar to you. The Gemara is a Gemara about someone by the name of Ilfa and Rav Yochanan. Ilfa and Rav Yochanan. Does that sound familiar to some of you? Ilfa and Rav Yochanan. Let me start with this. Rabbi. Does Rabbi sound familiar? And now Yochanan, right? And then Ilfa, okay? But the Gemara happens to say, which will come to light in a minute, Ilfa is the first one that's mentioned. It says Ilfa and then Rav Yochanan, which is fascinating in its own right. It says like this. Okay, I'm going to lose you. Ilfa and Rav Yochanan were steiging the Heilige Teda. Now, the Gemara in Ksuvus, when it brings it up at Samach Testament, it just starts from the fact that Ilfa gets up, and he says the following line. He says, anyone who can go ahead and tell me, essentially, he says the names, but anyone who can tell me a brisa, and I can't tell you where that's found, where the shorish or the root of that brisa is in the Mishnah, I will jump off the mast of this ship and I will drown myself. Which is a very, very heavy statement, right? I was discussing with right before, and I was learning with the head of Mermelstein Shlit and Mermchaks, and we were learning the idea. No, it's very good learning. And we're talking about the fact that nowadays, like these statements that come up, people have like self guy, like oh no, like what's going on? Call a psychologist, right? Go. He says, anyone who can tell me a brisa, and I don't know where it is in the Mishnah, I'll drown myself. Oh no, call the doctors and let's discuss this. But here's what he says. He says, I'm going to throw myself off and I'll drown myself in the sea. And he says, all right, so they go ahead. And what in the world is he saying? What's he saying? Why such a heavy, intense thing? What's going on? So he goes and it references the Gemara over here in Tainus Chaf Aleph, which tells a story about Ilfa and Rav Yochanan. Ilfa and Rav Yochanan were taking a little nap, says the Gemara. They were learning in Yeshiva, they were Chavrusas. And they left Yeshiva because they had the Ola Parnasa. They needed to go make some cash money. So they went and they're under a bridge. And they overheard, well, they didn't, but one of them, it was overheard that two malachim were speaking. And one of them said to the other, oh yeah, look at these guys, easy targets. Let's kill them. Right? Why they want to kill them? They're leaving Chaye Olam Abba. They're leaving the concept of sitting and steiging and learning Tate in the base medrash, and they're going to Chaye Shah. They're throwing it away, they're throwing everything away just for Olam Abba, Olam Azeh. Let's kill them. So the other Malach says back, no, don't do it. He says, why not? He says, because one of them is going to end up being a tremendous Chashiva Rosh Yeshiva. So we can't do it, right? Because one of them is going to be. Now, personally, I have a question, like, why can't you just, you know, sharpshooter the other one? But, okay, anyway. He says, but don't do it, because the other one, they have to knock down a bridge, you have to make it look like something. Okay. So they go ahead and says, don't do it because of this guy. So Rav Yochanan wakes up from this, right? He says to Ilfa, he's like, yo, Ilfa, did you hear that? And he's like, hear what? He's like, never mind, I'll see you. Oh, you're going to work? I'll see you later. I'm going back to the base of Medrash, right? And he goes back to the base of Medrash. Ilfa goes out, and he becomes a businessman. Ilfa goes to work. And Rav Yochanan goes back, and he becomes a Rosh Yeshiva. And after many years, Ilfa becomes quite wealthy, and he comes back. And the students say to him, wow, you know, Rav Yochanan is the man. Had you stayed, we would have made you the man. You could have been the Rosh Yeshiva. Like, wow. And what's he saying to him? He's saying, Nebuch, you went out to work. It's too bad. It's unfortunate you went out to work because you could. Who knows what you could have been. And then he responds to them. And this is how the Gemara Ksuvos steps up. He says, listen, let me explain something to you. Come with me to a ship and I will stand on the mast. And then they go on the stand and he goes, if you could ask me any brisa, and I'm not able to answer the brisa, and tell you where it's found in the Mishnah, right? Because we understand the Mishnah is the core. Brises are generally off of Mishnayos. They don't put everything in there. If Rebbe came along and he brought the Mishnayos, which is the core. So therefore, a Brisa will have a root somewhere. And if you know all Mishnayos, which you're supposed to, then you'll be able to find, which we are supposed to, then you will be able to find out. If you hear a Brisa, you don't have to know them all, like we know Rav Yosef, Eri Gemaris, right? You don't have to know them all, but at least you will know where to source it. And he's saying the following. What's he saying to him when he says the idea that I know them all? What's he saying when he's saying such an idea? What he's saying is simple. I went out to work, but let me explain something. I did not lose my ability to be able to learn Torah. I learned Torah. I'm holding stark in Torah, and I'm going to show you that I didn't make a mistake. Even though I went out to work, I still know Gantz Torah by heart. I know the whole thing. And you want to challenge me, bring it. And if not, then I'll go and I'll jump and I'll drown myself. All right, now, a couple of questions on this. The first one being, what about in the beginning when Ilfa and Rav Yochanan were under the bridge? Why is it that Ilfa didn't hear it and Rav Yochanan did hear it? And why is it that the Gemara then says, oh, Ilfa was, you could have been the man. Why saying you could have been the man? If Ilfa and Rav Yochanan would have gone back together, you're saying Ilfa would have been higher? That means to say that seems like Ilfa's on a higher level than Rav Yochanan. Well then how come Ilfa didn't hear it, Rav Yochanan did hear it? So I'll tell you, this past Shabbos, I was with a different group, and we were eating lunch, and my daughter asked me the following question. My daughter, who's going to be 5 years old on December 25th, Hanukkah, she, I'm serious, her birthday's on Chav Tes Kislev. So, my daughter said, okay, I have so many, don't say it. All right, so now, so my daughter asked me the following question. My kids ask me some they go at me with these questions sometimes. She says to me, what's Hashem? So I was like, did you make a motzi yet? We have to eat through the suda. You know what I'm saying? Did you wash? Yeah. She goes, what's Hashem? What would you answer? I said, come on. We know Hashem is here. Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere. Yeah. He's up, he's down, he's right, left, he's all around. He's here, he's there. It's where it can be found. She goes, I know, but what's Hashem? This is after, by the way, a week and a half earlier, she had asked me, she says to me, who am I? And now, you laugh. I was so, I don't know what she's asking me. She's like, who am I? So my 9-year-old then goes, here we go again. Apparently, they have these conversations. She goes, you're a person. She goes, I know I'm a person, but what is a person? Yeah? So I'm like, okay. I'm like, listen, you have a neshama. Hashem created us. We're here. We're the children of Hashem. Do you understand? She goes, no. I was like, oh, no. Right? So I was like, go to sleep. But anyway, so we go back to this. She goes, you know, what's Hashem? She says, what's Hashem? So I'm trying to discuss with her what it is. And I'm like, how do you say manifestation to a 5-year-old? You know what I'm saying? How do you get this across? And so I'm talking with her. I don't want to go into it now because whatever, another time anyone wants to know, you can speak to someone else. But we go in and I gave her some answer. And then she says to me, so how do you speak to Moshe? How did Moshe hear Hashem? And I'm like, who are you hanging out with? Where do you get these questions, you know? And I said, well, there's something called nevuah. There's something called prophecy. And Hashem speaks to those who are nevi'im, to prophets, through this medium called prophecy, nevuah. So she said, well, how do I do that? So I said, listen, there actually is a book about it. There's a book of how to do it. The book is called the Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim wrote a book based off the Gemara, based off the Brisa, that Elf could have told you what mission it's connected to. And it tells you the steps you need to take to get there. So she's like, so can you read that as a bedtime story, right? I'm like, not a chance. This morning she woke up and I come to the kitchen and she says, Tati, I did a mitzvah. I said, very nice. She goes, I did a mitzvah because I want to hear Hashem. I was like, whoa. Like, this is seriously heavy. You know, like, I look at sometimes some of my friends that are in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, in here too, but I look at some of my friends that are in Chutz La'aretz, and the... I don't know how to say this in a...
And the kids aren't asking those questions. Let's put it that way. Right? The kids are not asking those questions. And I sometimes think, wow, they're really lucky. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, achas v'shalom, I mean, it's an amazing thing. Well, what's pshat that Ilfa didn't hear it? So the Bali Musa say that really, it's not that Ilfa couldn't have heard it, but for whatever reason, Ilfa wasn't on the frequency that Rav Yochanan was in terms of his ability to be able to hear such a thing. It doesn't mean Ilfa wasn't on a tremendously high level. So what does it mean that he says that I'm willing to go ahead and, so to speak, kill myself? And what's a boat doing here? Why a boat? So Marsha brings out that the reason why he goes ahead and he says he's a boat is because it's alluding to the Gemara in Erevin as saying lo ba shamayim hi, lo me'ev le'yam. It's not in any other place. It's not on the other side of the sea. And he says, I worked as a merchant on the sea, and the Torah is b'ficha b'vavcha la'sosa. Even when I was out and working on the boat, I still continued studying Torah. I still continue the idea of studying Torah. I never stopped the concept. And this is why the Rambam says in Hilchos Tamei Torah, no matter what a person's profession is, no matter what you do, you have to learn Torah. A person has to be kovei itim l'Torah. It doesn't matter what you're involved with. It's a little scary, the Rambam at the end says. No matter what your circumstance, you have to learn Torah. If you're poor, if you're rich, okay, those who are not married won't understand this next one. It goes, and even if you're married, that's the last thing the Rambam says. Even if you're married, you have to be kovei itim l'Torah. You still have to study, sit and learn Torah. You'll see what I mean, perhaps, or maybe you won't, but when and I'm not saying I do, I'm saying other people I've heard from that say that, you know what I'm saying, I love to, listen, I'm busy, I got the family, I got the whatever, I got the work, and my wife needs me, whatever it is. Even if you're married, you got to sit down, you got to be learning Torah. You got to become big. You got to become huge. You got to become unbelievably huge. Every person has a chiyuv to become unbelievably huge. So it goes and says, I still didn't forget my learning, even though I was involved in all these things. Now here's the point. To get into a discussion about whether or not a person should be sitting and learning all their life, or whether a person should be working and learning, okay, that's a discussion to be had. It happened to be that would seem to be perhaps a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Ilfa. That there are those that say Torah im derech eretz, it's a real thing, that a person can go out and even be involved in learning. And he was tining, I'm not wrong. And I saw it brought down, interesting, I saw it from someone by the name of, there's a fellow by the name of Rav Yosef Perlman, who's of London, who quoted his father, Rav Rafael David, who says a beautiful explanation explaining what's pshat, that he came along and he said that he's going to drown himself, and what does that mean, that he went out to work and learn. And he says the following idea. He says that what it means is he understood that the way that a person should be following is Torah derech eretz. Great, you can work and learn, no problem. But if you think I'm wrong, he says, if you think I'm wrong, and if you think that I didn't do it properly, I'm going to prove it to you. You ask me any question, and I'll be able to tell you where it is in Torah. And if not, I will throw myself and drown myself in the sea. What does that mean? Anyone? Yamal shel Torah, Yamal shel Talmud. I'll drown myself back. If you think I'm wrong, it's not Torah derech eretz, and I'm not able to answer up the questions you're going to ask, fine, I admit it. I'll throw in my cards and I'll go back to full-time learning. I'll drown myself in the sea of Torah. I'll go back and to continue the idea of learning Torah. Now here's the main issue, the main idea that I want to get across over here from this entire Gemara. It would be amazing if somebody here had the means and the drive to go and start a Beis Medrash, wherever you're from, start a Beis Medrash. I have this idea, I always wanted to start a Beis Medrash called Beis Medrash de Ilfa. Beis Medrash de Ilfa, what does that mean? That means you're working, fine. But you're also sitting down and becoming an Ilfa. And that who comes along, the Margalius Hayam says that Ilfa's name comes before Rav Yochanan to show you that perhaps Ilfa was even on a higher level than Rav Yochanan, even though he was out there and working. I used to say the name of this person. I don't feel that maybe it's the right thing to do. I mentioned to him that I said his name, and he didn't seem to be bothered by it. I'm going to tell you the name. There's a fellow by the name, in the past, whenever I mentioned people's names as role models, it always ended up not going well. So maybe I shouldn't. I used to say there's this guy, what's that guy, the biker, the guy, the doper. Right. Lance, my buddy Lance. So I give a mashal about Lance Armstrong, that he pushes himself and he overcame and he was an amazing drug addict and all these different things. So
I used to say, like, if you push yourself, you survive. You find the guy's a dope, right? The guy dope. So that was the lashon they used. The dope, right? Okay, dope is for dope. So anyway, but you get the idea. And then you give a mashal about another guy, another sports guy by the name of Oscar Pistorius, if anyone knows who that is.
Yes.
Right? He accidentally shot someone on purpose. Anyway, so, you know, every mashal I use. So maybe I'm not going to use the name of this person. There is a fellow who I look up to tremendously. I look up to this person as an amazing role model. I grew up in a place called, I lived in a place called Woodmere, New York. And there was a guy who lives in the Five Towns. I'll make it obvious who he is even. I'm not going to say his name, but if you know who he is, you'll know who he is. And this guy, he's a physician. He's a doctor by trade. He's a doctor. I believe he's in charge of infectious diseases. That's not in charge of all of them, but he is in charge of the unit of infectious diseases in a certain place. Now, besides the fact that he's a doctor, he gives daf yomi. He gives over. He teaches daf yomi. Okay, great. Okay, not all right. It's good. It's not only good. The ma'aseh, one of my rebbeim told me, don't ever go to daf yomi. This is what my rebbeim said to me when I was in yeshiva, 17. He said, don't go to a daf yomi shir. I was like, okay, and I left. He's like, no, listen to the end of the statement, right? He says, give a daf yomi shir. It's a totally different level when someone goes to a daf yomi shir or you give a daf yomi shir. I can tell you the first time I gave a daf yomi shir, I was 23 years old. I remember a guy came over to me and he said, I think they were learning like Horios or Tamura. I know you're puzzled as well. But anyway, they were learning these things that those kids knew what it was in Pinsk Karlin. But anyway, I got it and he said he wants me to give daf yomi. Number one, I was scared out of my mind to teach anything. Number two, to teach Gemara. Number three, it's in Hebrew, in Aramaic. Number four, hurry who? Right? So, right? Tamur, what? And I had no idea what it was. And I said, no. I said, no way. This guy came, he offered me to do it. And then he's like, okay, fine. Now that was in the beginning before davening. I was in Montreal, Canada, right before davening started. He said, would you give the shir? Because I'm going away for a couple of days. I give the shir. I need someone. You know, you're learning in yeshiva. I need a guy to come do it. So I was like, no. During Shmona Esrei, I was thinking about it. And just come on, let's face it. And what happened was I said, why did I say no? That's such a silly move. Why did I say no? That's a silly thing to do. Say yes. What's the worst that'll happen? Bad things can happen, but what's the worst that'll happen? I'll look like a fool. So okay, you'll look like a fool, you'll go weiter. I said it after davening, during Chazor Sashans, I went to him, and I said to him, and then after, I said to him, you know what, I'll do it. He says, yeah, okay, great, great. I sat for that entire day, it was close to 12 hours, learning this Gemara. You think, wow, shtark, I was reading the art scroll. I still was having a hard time, like, what's going on over here? Now, it's not just give a shir, it's give the shir in 40 minutes, right? They have to give the shir in 40 minutes, and the masechta that I never knew existed, let alone what's going on there. So I go ahead, obviously I'm kidding, I finished that a long time ago, but I'm just saying that point is, you get the point. So I go to prepare, it took me 10 hours to be able to give the shir over. To give a daf yomi shir, to be prepared for such a thing, give it. So what ends up happening is like this. This fellow from Woodmere, New York, or the Five Towns, he gives daf yomi. He's now in his fourth cycle of giving it. Fourth cycle of giving daf yomi. Besides the daf yomi, he also gives a daily Mishnah Berurah shir. You know, they have the deer shoe, right? He gives a Mishnah Berurah shir. Besides the Mishnah Berurah, he gives a Mishnayah shir. This is every day. Besides the daf yomi, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnayas, he gives other random shiurim throughout the week on halacha and medicine. Besides that, he happens to be the assistant rabbi in a shul. Besides that, he happened to have taken over. There was a particular school where the rabbi was sick, he was ill, and they needed someone to take over. So they asked him to take over, temporarily. And okay, he went to go take over. But then some people complained, and they said, you know, but he doesn't have smicha. So he went for a faher, and he took it, and he passed it. He got smicha. It's not that he didn't learn the Torah, he just never got the smicha. I think the Chofetz Chaim also didn't have, I'm not saying he's a Chofetz Chaim, but I'm just saying that the Chofetz Chaim, I think, didn't have smicha until he got it. Yeah? Amazing. Like both people. But he was still the Chofetz Chaim. You can learn Torah, just because a person has smicha, doesn't mean a person is not an honorable Bilam, didn't Talmud Chacham, just didn't get that piece of paper. He had learned through Yaradea, he had learned through the things, he just didn't have it. Me personally, what impresses me the most, I'm not saying that a person should go one way or the other, everyone has to work it out themselves. But if one finds themselves in a circumstance where they're working, no one has an excuse to say, okay, listen, I'm working. You know, I'm working, what do you want me to do? If you're, and no one else has an excuse to say, I'm learning. It's not my fault I'm not learning well. I'm learning. You know what I'm going to do? I'm in yeshiva, right? There's no excuse to say you don't know what daf you're on and what line you're on, right? We have to know these things. You have to chazer. You have to work them through. Newman, we have to chazer. You have to get these things down, right? And if a person goes ahead and is able to really pound this thing, then we end up becoming an ilfa. That's why I say beis medrash to ilfa.
Person's out in their work world. There's no excuse. Every person has a chiyuv to become a massive talmid chacham. It doesn't matter who you are. Every person has a chiyuv. I mentioned before, my chavrusa tells me, never talk about these things because you're just being mekatre. It's on myself. But the bottom line is every one of us has a chiyuv that we have to do it. And the only way a person can do it is if they drown themselves without drowning themselves. And I'll give you just a couple more to understand the concept of what does it mean. Who are people who are out in the working world yet still became some talmidei chachamim? So there's someone by the name, perhaps you've heard of, someone named Rav Avram Danzig. Has anyone heard that name before? Who is Rav Avram Danzig? Right, he wrote a sefer called Chachmas Adam as well as Chaye Adam. And he writes the following thing in his introduction to the sefer Chachmas Adam. He says, I know that people are whispering about me. I know people are whispering about me, like, ah, who is this guy writing a sefer? He writes an intro to his sefer. I know people are whispering, man, who is this guy that he's writing, that I'm writing a sefer? Ah, he's been in Leipzig for the past 15 years, which is the business town. He was a businessman. He was a merchant. He goes, I know that that's the case, but you should also know. And they're thinking like, well, you go ahead, and he's writing a sefer. Ah, another guy publishes a sefer. He says, you should know something, even though I'm working, I'm only doing it to support my family, and every moment that I had, I learned. It may be true that I'm working, but please, please don't discard or disrespect the fact that this sefer might mean something. The Chachmas Adam is the primary sefer that people use now for their limud. The Chai Adam is, when people say you don't have opportunity to sit down and learn, Chai Adam is huge. It was a businessman. This guy in the business world. And so many people are saying, ah, what could I do? I'm in the business world. What do you mean, what could you do? You could become a Talmid Chacham. What does that mean, what could you do? You could become a Talmid Chacham. You know, people sometimes say, I don't recall, could be we said this last year before Pesach. I don't remember if we added this one line. I read an article, which I saw tonight again. I didn't read it. I just saw the article. I have it in my house, an article. And I saw it. And in the article, it says the following. People think that they have no time. People like to say, I have no time. I'm busy. I have no time. So there's a young woman who was doing a research project on this to see, do people really don't have time? And she went around asking people, how many hours a week do you work? So one guy's like, I really have no time. I'm working 180 hours a week. Okay, there are not too many mathematicians in the room here. How many hours are in a week? Okay, I'm so sorry for asking that, right? Okay, right? I don't know either, but less than 180. Come on, people. 24, 168. 168. This guy is such an incredible worker. He works 12 hours more than exist. This guy's unbelievable. You're working 100 hours a week. How many times do you say, I don't have time, I don't have time, I'm busy, I don't have time, I'm busy, I don't have time, I'm busy. Bologna, if you don't know how to read. And baloney, if you do. It's true. You might be busy. I'm not taking away the fact that you're busy. But to say you don't have time, that's not true. How many time during the week, how much time during the week do we have to look at things that are shtuyot, that are just wasting our time? How many times have you gone and said, wow, you know, I'm so busy, I don't have time. I read an amazing article. When did you read that article? When did you read it? In the 181st hour, right? When did you read it? We have time. We have time. And for a person who says they don't have time, they're going to be in big trouble if it's not true. Which is, we have to take a look and see. It's just about scheduling, setting the order. In order to be successful in the idea of Limud Torah, a person has to set the time. If I could recommend, the time should be the first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning, a person has to set up that they're going on their learning. You start your day, as they say in Manchester, England, the Torah way. Right, for those who know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should also do that. Start your day the Torah way. If we start off in the morning going into learning, it sets a tone for the entire day. So understand the concept of what we're saying here is that a person might not end up being the most incredible Talmid Chacham that ever existed in the world. They might not be. And they might end up being a Rosh Yeshiva. That doesn't mean they can't be a Rosh Yeshiva. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, it's amazing when you come here, you really can't tell the difference between a beggar and a Rosh Yeshiva. You can't. You pasha can't. I dived in this morning at the Kotel, and the Kaisel. I was at the Kaisel, right next to the Kotel, and as I was there, people are coming around like collecting money. When they walk towards you, you look at them. You're thinking like,
It's amazing. So one guy came over to me, and I was like, here's a shekel. And he says, I'm Rav Yaakov Hillel. Look, I don't need your shekel. That didn't happen, but that would be amazing. You know? Anyway, but you basically can't tell the difference. You look at these people, they look like Rosh Yeshiva. Unfortunately, what ends up happening is sometimes they're not Rosh Yeshiva. It needs to be the flip in Chutzaretz. It needs to be that you look at a guy who's a businessman, and he's Taka Rosh Yeshiva. If it's an idea where you go out and we see over here that they look like Rosh Yeshiva with really beggars, that means that if you look like a businessman, you have to be Rosh Yeshiva. I'm not saying a businessman is a beggar. I'm just maybe. But I'm saying it has to be. You have to look at yourself like a yeshiva. We have the chiyuv to become Rosh Yeshiva. And that doesn't mean that you have to have a yeshiva, but we have to have the ability. Someone says, hey, you want to give daf yomi? Don't think about it during Shmona Esrei. It has to be that, yeah, Taka, I'm ready for it when you're ready for it. I'm not saying I'm ready. Please don't ask me to do it. But I'm just pointing out that it has to be that way. All right, people, let's do a quick recap. Everything we do, and then we end up with one point. So very simply put, we chaz at the concept the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Alf in the bottom, it says there are going to be a series of questions. How many?
Six.
The first ones are going to be asked is, were you honest in the business? Number two is, did you set times for learning of Torah? And say the concept of a person that set times to learn of Torah every single day of their life, and you're not going to get off talk. Then comes on, Allah brought down in Kufnun, hey, 155, that a person has to go ahead and to become Eitam LaTorah every single day based on the Gemara. Even if it's a Sabbath, like Noah's couple's party, you're going to lose it anyway. So why would you go and do such a thing? And you say the concept of a person realizes you're going to go and set up Eitam LaTorah, even going to make a lot of money because the Gemara tells Zainab Alf, tells him, bitch, you're going to get the money anyway. So why would you go and work a little bit more, a little bit less? I'm going to lose, I'm going to get the game. So if you're going to push this, then the person's got to push himself. Then comes along to the Bear Lacha and says, come and take a look at Susan. And says, what's going to be? Who am I? Right? Then understand the concept. What does that mean? When you realize the fact, unbelievable, the person can realize, oh my goodness, what are you going to have? And the person's going to have, you want to have eyes in your head, so go to optometrist or whatever. Really, the concept, the person can have a zero, let's go. Say it a little bit, you're going to end up with nothing. You're going to end up with nothing. So therefore, you're saying you end up with nothing, you might as well end up with something. You've got to set up the time for a person to go ahead and do such a thing. And a person doesn't do it, then they're going to be lost of everything. Then the governor comes along and he tells them, Tainus, a chaf alef from an alef, also found in the ksufas of the chaf, basically the governor goes and he says, come on, what you got? You want a piece of me? I'll jump off this thing right into the water. I'm like, all right, man, chill. You know what are you doing here? He says, no, okay, this is different than machlok, what's happening. The walking in the thing is like, oh my God, it's like Tamil Chacham. Hey, you hear what I hear? Hear what? What you talking about? All right, I'll see you later. Take care. Right? He goes back and business, come to Chacham, Ilf goes off. Hey, you could have been him. Ilf is first. Says, I'm going to see I'm Ilf is first. If I'm wrong, I'll drown myself in the Torah. I'm going to put myself back into it. But you know what? I ain't wrong. What you got now, boy? Right? People who got this amazing thing. The person goes out, the guy's teaching that film, the guy's teaching an idea of halacha a day. I'm not saying you have to be teaching these things every day, but you have the ability, maybe taking the time to do such a thing. Teaching a Mishnah, teaching an idea of halacha, teaching how God is teaching halacha. Unbelievable things. They're going to shiurim in business. That is, he's a bribe principal of yeshiva. And he's what do you call that thing with the rabbi? Assistant rabbi. And he's also a good pitcher, by the way. I played baseball against the guy's a good pitcher. He was a good pitcher. It was whatever. Anyway. So understand that a person goes ahead and realizes. There's no excuse. A person goes, but I have no time. I'm working 148 hours a week. That's okay. I hear that. But I work 180 hours a week. I read an amazing article. When? 181. Understand people asking for stories, don't talk. Realize the fact. Unbelievable. We have these opportunities to go do such a thing. Therefore, we got to come to Tamil Chacham. No excuse for a person to say that I went ahead and what can I do about it? If I could tell you what my grandmother says, there's another thing she also says. It's always weird when she just pauses, I don't know. Anyway, but there's another thing that she says. My grandmother says, listen, time is passing regardless. It's happening. You might as well do something with it. Time is passing. How many times a person says, oh man, if I only would have learned two halachas, then I would have been, etc. So do it. Do it. I can't learn everything, and we have that idea. We got to do it all. Do a little bit. Do it all. You can't catch them all. I know you got to catch them all. But realize that you got to go ahead and do a little bit. And if a person goes and does a little bit every day and sees with consistency what ends up happening, then we have the Rosh Yeshiva called the Rosh Yeshiva of Ilfa. And this I heard from, I heard Dov Brizak give a little shiur, and he was discussing the fact of a friend of his who's, he didn't say the name, was a big, he said a big posik in Talmud Chacham now in Eretz Yisrael. And he asked him, how did you get to such a level? He said, well, 25 years ago, I decided that I'm going to learn two halachas a day. Over 25 years of learning two halachas a day, you amass some information. And the bottom line is, it's really not that difficult. We have the time, we can do it, but we need to set the time. And that time has to be so holy that it can't be touched, like the Chavetz Chaim would say. And I want to suggest, I would like to suggest, I don't know, this is Libi Omerli, it's a friend of mine, the following idea. That perhaps, what's pshat that he says, that I'll jump in and I'll drown myself. What does that mean? I'll drown myself. You could say, I'll jump into the water, and that's the water of Torah. What does it mean, I'll drown myself? Maybe we could say the famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim would tell his wife that when I'm learning Torah, I'm dead. When I'm learning Torah, I'm dead. What does that mean, I'm dead? It means that I'm not reachable. You can't, there's nothing you can do. What would you do? But what if I need you, right? This is what comes up. But what if I need you? What if I need something from you? What if I need you? Well, what would you do if I wasn't here? You'd find a way to make it work. And perhaps that's the idea of what's going on over here. We said the famous story, I think, of Elchanan Wasserman, who said to the Chafetz Chaim, when he found out that his wife was expecting and was going to have a child, and that it was imminent, he said, Hashiva, Rebbe, should I go back home? Chafetz Chaim said, I don't understand. Are you a doctor? He said, no. He said, so why would you go back? He's like, never mind. And he kept learning. Then he finds out he had a baby boy. And he says to the Chafetz Chaim, should I go back for the bris? He goes, are you a mohel? He's like, no. So why would you go back? Okay. I tried this once with my wife. Turns out I'm very good at self-defense. Yeah, I didn't realize how good I was. But recognize, everyone has another place. But it does have to be set up that when I'm steiging, when I'm learning Torah, the world is closed to me. No business calls, no family calls. I shut off my cell phone. I don't even have a cell. I'm not even here. I don't even exist. And maybe that's what Ilfa was saying. If I was wrong, that when I'm out there and I was learning, I wasn't able to do it, then Taka, I'm going to get rid of all of that and I'm going to drown myself as if I'm completely dead and not be involved. Gentlemen, we need to reach a stage where we are completely dead. So God willing, we could, God willing, one day reach the level, Be'ezah Hashem of Ilfa. Yishkoyach.